morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'd like to welcome you to First United Methodist Church's worship service this morning. My name is Jakes Volker, the pastor who is going to be leading you through the worship service this morning, along with people that are here to help me. We have Nancy Cole, who is our organist. We have Jean Whiteside, who is our media person here, and of course our praise team leader Dennis Clay, who also plays our keyboard. Of course, we have a few other people here. Jakes is taking care of the recording. We want to say thank you, Jakes, for helping Jean to get this going. All of you are doing a wonderful job. We just want to say thank you so much. Without you, we wouldn't be able to reach the people that look forward to this live stream worship that we're trying to get together. I deeply, deeply appreciate all of your work and all of the efforts you are making. Again, those of you that are worshiping with us this morning, whether you are a member of Racine First United Methodist Church, or a regular visitor, or just visiting for the first time, just know that we appreciate your being on this line. Again, this is technology. You can't count on me for that. We're doing the best we can. We'll continue to do the best. We're glad to have you, and may God richly bless you as we worship together this morning. Let me say a little bit about this Sunday that we are celebrating with worship this morning. It's a special kind of Sunday in the history of our church and nation. This is three wonderful, important things, events that we are celebrating today. You know that tomorrow is going to be Memorial Day, and so this is Memorial Day Sunday. Therefore, this is Memorial Day Sunday that we, you know, memorial is something that we really, really cherish in our church. Sometimes we do a real formal recognition of and remembrance of our Lord's brothers and sisters that have left us. Of course, this is why it was intended in 1866 when the U.S. government declared that it should have this as a day set aside to remember those people. And then the next thing for us as United Methodists, this is a special Sunday for us. 1838, it was when our founding father, John Wesley, had his, this is how he described it, "My heart was strangely warmed, and I felt the assurance that indeed I am a child of God." Since then, it's been a part of our heritage. And we'll be talking about our inheritance today. That would be one of the key messages for us. And then, of course, this is our regular time that we come together, whether by video, by whatever means. If we are able to meet in person, we meet in person. But the important thing about Sundays, not only this, even though today is the Ascension Sunday, that's what makes this Sunday also special. Three, I told you three things make this Sunday very special. Of course, Christ ascended on this Sunday. We celebrate that. 1738, John Wesley had that special experience, spiritual heartwarming, that gave rise to what you and I celebrate today as, or we are a part of today as United Methodism. And then, of course, the U.S. government also recognized the fact that they needed to honor the sacrifices of those who have left us. So it's very important. We want to welcome you. We'll do the best. At some point, we will recognize just by reading the names. We're not going to be having a formal memorial as we've done in the past. This is not normal time. And so those of you who have loved ones that were part of this congregation who passed away late last year and coming into the first 2 months of the of 2020 was a difficult year for a difficult time for us as a congregation. We lost a lot of members, not a lot, but at least four or five of those people. We will be naming them and just thanking God for their work and all of that. So please stay tuned, and we will do the best we can to continue the service. Right. Having said that, I want to invite us again to a moment where we can begin to prepare our hearts and minds to begin our worship service. And usually, a part of our heritage is to begin with a call to worship, right? We can forget about that. So for our call to worship this morning is Be Joyful. Be joyful. That's the title. Clap your hands, all you chosen people. We will shout to our God with loud song of joy. For God has chosen our heritage for us, the pride of our forefathers, whom God loves. This is Psalm 47, verses 1 and 4. We will remain standing as we listen to the hymn, Faith of Our Father, written by Frederick Fiber. Again, we don't mean to leave the women out, but you know, in past biblical language, men was inclusive. Brethren, that's what it said. So you are included, ladies. Don't feel left out as we sing this hymn. This is not about theological argument. So that's not what we are doing here. So let's just open our hearts and sing and know that we are all included. All right. Service, Sunday, our raised up servants to proclaim the gift of redemption and the life of holiness. For our spiritual forebears, Susanna, John, Charles, Barbara Hick, John Albright, Philip Rottenberg, and Martin Bourne, inspired by your spirit, we give thanks. In their ministry, through their difficulties and in spite of their weaknesses, you were there, their hope and their salvation. You led them and their followers to create the heritage which is ours today. We praise you for the women and men, young and old, who followed them, who gave themselves unselfishly for the welfare of the church, whose commitment and vision encouraged and supported the church. Their talents, enthusiasm, idealism, and dedication infused the church with energy. Their outstanding gift and witness shape our thought and life. We praise you for these countless members of your church, whose names we now call. I mentioned earlier in my announcement that there were some of our members who had left us and were supposed to have really celebrated their life and work. Had it been a normal time. But I'm just going to name some of these people, and you, the family, the friends need to know that we hold them very dear in our hearts and minds. We have Hilda Ayers, Ruth Reinhardt, Sandra Koleski, Judy Maxson, Dolores Court, Betty Simonson, and Rose Perez. There are others whom we don't have their names here, probably because they were not reported, but if you know any of those people, we want you to just know that we love them, we continue to hold them in our hearts and prayers for all that they did for us. We're going to have a moment in prayer for them. I will give thanks for the places of our rich tradition among the churches which comprise the body of Christ. With all your people throughout creation, give us a new vision, new love, new wisdom, and fresh understanding that we may serve you more fully through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you. We're continuing our service this morning with the reading of Scripture. And our first scripture comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. From the NIV version of the Holy Bible, I read. Praise be to God, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
We will now invite you to listen to our praise team.
Moment this morning and say a very large thank you to all the servicemen and women who have given their lives for our country, for our freedom, and for our ability to worship freely every day. Fires of a hundred circling camps, and they had builded him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I can read his righteous sentence in the dim. Hallelujah. like the glory of the morning of the wave. He is wisdom to the mighty. He is honor to the brave. So the world will be his footstool, and the soul of long his slave. My God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah.
Scripture this morning from the Gospel according to Luke. This is the last time Jesus is going to be with his disciples, and he couldn't just leave them and you know, hopeless. We all face those times. So here it is. Jesus says to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem," probably beginning at where you are. "You are witnesses to these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed, until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then the disciples worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. This is the word of God for the people of God. May the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our Redeemer and our strength. Amen. This morning I want to talk about inheritance. And I want to say here emphatically that inheritance is yours and you need to claim it. It's yours. It's your inheritance. Claim it. What are we talking about? Today is Memorial. Today is Ascension Sunday. Today is Heritage Sunday. You name it. Three important things in the life of us all, both as believers and even as non-believers. Believe me or not, Christ came into the world so that the world might be saved. Whether you believe it or not, it's available. So it's your inheritance. Jesus is about to leave his disciples. And he's not going on a trip to come back. No. He is returning to where he came from in the first place. He's going back to his Father. But the truth of the matter is, there were people at the time that have confided in his presence, that have left everything and given themselves to him, to his service, because he said he was the Messiah, and this Messiah has been expected for years, even generations. And then he's crucified, and they are kind of again cold and wondering what's going to happen. And all of a sudden, God brings about the joy of raising this Messiah again. And then he said again, "Let me tell you again. This is what the scripture says, and it must come to pass." did the scripture say? I can just imagine what was going on, what was going across this guy's mind, those men and women that seen the Messiah, the risen Lord, sitting with them and talking with them and walking with them again from Jerusalem to Bethany, maybe about 7 to 8 miles, I don't know. I haven't been to Israel, but I do know that that's probably within that proximity of distance. So, he says to them, I'm about to leave. Where are you going again? He said, but before I leave, this is what I have for you. I have just 2 things for you. This is what we do, right? This is what we do. And I know from the culture that I come from, when a parent is leaving the home and maybe going on a trip, usually they leave the kids with some kind of assurance. You know, take care of this, and you take care of that. Jesus could not leave his disciples, especially the first disciples, without hope. He needed to give them something that they needed to hold on, something that, you know, that is not time limited. There's no limit to this thing that he's about to give them. And so he says to them, I've already told you in the past that you stay in Jerusalem until you have received 2 things. One, power. We are in the season of elections. And people spend millions and millions and millions of dollars just to get power. Power that is not sustained. You can't keep it. You just get it for some time and it's gone away. Then you spend all of your access problems just to get power. Power, power. Everybody needs power. We yearn for it. The inheritance that we have in Christ. Jesus is just repeating that to us. That I was with you, I did all that I could for you. Because I was present with you. When you were hungry, I fed you. When you were sick, I healed you. When you were downhearted, I spoke in calm words to you. When you didn't know your way out, I led you. When you were afraid, I gave you hope. I'm leaving. You have power. You have the power to do all of those for now. Okay. You have power. Then she said, well, if power is not enough, here's what I'm going to give you in turn. I'm going to bless you. You have my blessing. Who doesn't want to be blessed? Who doesn't want to be blessed? You can take all of the other things from me. Don't take away my blessing. And so Jesus is restoring the blessing of God upon these disciples that are already anxious. I can see the level of anxiety among these people. It's rising so high because he's leaving them and they have no idea. You heard Philip say that at some point. We don't know where you are going. How can you say, we know? 2 things, power, blessing. Why do they remember before his crucifixion, before his death, if you look that up in, before his departure from the world, Jesus' priestly prayer was, Father, but part of that, look that up in John 17, especially in verse 22, here is what he says. Father, here's what Jesus says. I'm going to read that for you, just a minute here. He said, Father, I have given these people the glory that you gave me, that they may be one, just as you and I are one. What it is that God does not share, God does not share his glory with people. But here is the time that Jesus is leaving this world, and he had to leave something with the disciples. Because we are co-heirs with this Jesus, we become co-inheritors of the glory of God. That's what it is. Oh, you want to hear more about that from Scripture? I'm not making this up. I let Scripture to speak to the message that I give. And so you look up Romans 8:16 through 17. It says here, the Spirit himself, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself testify with our spirit that we are God's children. You hear that? That we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Jesus Christ. If indeed we share, now you don't want to hear this. You might not want to hear this. If indeed we share in his suffering, nobody wants to suffer, right? You don't want to suffer. So I thought I didn't want to say that, but I need to say that that's the reality with which we live in the world. You can't escape that because that's not what the Lord promised. The Lord didn't say to us, when you become my disciples, you're not going to have storms that we just studied about this morning. Those of you who were with us in the Bible study, Max Lucado was clear, according to Philippians chapter 4, that as long as we live, the storms will come, the trials will come, the troubles will come. But the good news is, even though God did not promise that when we become his disciples, when we turn and begin to go back to him and restored and are reconciled to him, things will be bread and butter all along in this troubled life. And the fact that we live in a troubled life, our lives are going to be troubled. Is that not true? But that's what it is. Good news. Good news. In the midst of those storms and troubles, we are not alone. See that? And so sometimes it kind of raises the question in my own heart, how is it for people who just don't know Christ? How do they deal with this? Because that's my only hope. I can do all things, Paul would say, through Christ who strengthened me. So that the troubles will come. It's not if, no. Jesus has given us power. He's given us blessings. It is within those two that we live, that we move, and we have our beings. I don't know what I do without the power of God. I don't know what I do without the blessings of God. But I stand with Paul when he says, it is in him that we move, that we live, and we have our being. And I can do nothing, absolutely nothing, without Christ being with me. And of course, he says Christ, as I said it before, and Paul is just reaffirming that. But indeed, our life is in Christ. We are co-heirs with Christ. This is Jesus' own offer. Nobody's playing trick on him to purport to be a co-heir, but it was his promise, and I know his promises are true. How are you using your power? Is your power still at the level when you first became still getting, is it still hot and enthusiastic? Or is it getting cool and lukewarm? You have the blessing of God. We all have the blessing of God. And this heritage that we have, it's not something that you and I really deserve. If you listen to Paul says to us that because of Christ who reconciles us to a loving and caring God, salvation, which does not just wait for us until we die, but living in the glory of the Lord. And when I talk about glory, when the Bible talks about glory, he's talking about, the Bible is talking about the splendor, the pride of God, the holiness, the majesty of God, something that God would not share. He promised not to share. But in Jesus Christ, it became ours. That's what he's talking about. You can shine. You can live an enthusiastic life. Your life is not contingent. Here again, you may not believe this, because most of us, culture, have caused us to be, to believe that our importance lies in the material things we have, but that's not true. You are of more value. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 6, specifically read verse 33. When these guys were all thinking about, oh, you know, and we are worried about what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to wear, Jesus looked at them and said, your life is more important, kindly, than all of these things. So you inherit something that the world cannot give and the world cannot take away from you. Don't allow circumstances to steal that joy, that power, that blessing that God has given you. It's for now until eternity, because Christ has given it to you. Anything that is God is eternal, is trustworthy, is reliable. You can confide in it. Because we know, the psalmist says, weeping comes in the night. But guess what? The morning comes with joy. And because you have the power of God, and you have the blessing of God, nothing. You look that up in Psalm 30, verse 5. God's blessing is upon you. God's power is with you. What would you do with us? We are poor earth with Christ. You are not alone. Even during this difficult time, things may not be as usual, but I tell you one thing that is still as usual is the love of God for you. You may have lost loved ones in this crisis. You may have lost your job. You may be having the toughest time ever in your life. You listen to Peter. Those things actually count to strengthen our faith, to help us to refocus. That's my message from the coronavirus, whatever you call it, COVID-19. A beautiful name, hopefully I choose. It's teaching me to refocus my life. What is important to me in this life? What should I be focusing on? You see, I can see that I'm still the same person, even though I did not go to that football game. because here I am around me, I see Psalm 91 just being fulfilled. Those who live in the shadow of the Almighty, He shelters them. God loves you. He's giving you power. And He's blessing you every day. This is not the first time. Don't give up on yourself and allow the devil to steal your joy. You are worth everything. Because you are co-heirs with Christ. You have an inheritance that will never be taken away from you. God's love, God's blessings, God's power. Amen. We invite you to a time of prayer. Scripture tells us that God knows our thoughts before they are even formed. And Paul helped us to understand that when we really didn't know how to pray, the Spirit of God pray on our behalf. Wherever you are, distance is no barrier to the blessings of God. God is with you. God is with you. In your home, in your car, you can pray. Yes. Let's be together. Our Creator, our sustainer God, we thank you for Jesus who came into the world to give his life for us. He became poor so that we can become rich. He died so that we can live. He served so that we may learn to serve each other. We thank you. We thank you for the opportunity, oh God, that we can worship you freely in this country. This morning we pray for all of our brothers and sisters, God, who have fulfilled their calling on the face of this earth and are now resting with you. We thank you for each of them. Whether in the church, whether in the public service, wherever you serve, cherish them, honor them, and we pray for them. We ask God that you will continue to increase us in the faith that you gave them to persevere even in the midst of persecution. Set our priorities right so that the blessings of power, the blessing of being blessed daily will not be taken away from us. Remind us the storms of life comes. Help us to focus on you. And it's going to be all right. As long as set our hearts and minds on you, calling on you in response to your faithful call. Cast all your burdens unto me. Thank you. book here, 21:53. I'm gonna live so God can use me. The first three verses.
Gonna live so